Well, we pray this morning that the Lord would meet with us again, and we ask your prayers. This is Brother Philip Gellenbeck. We're recording live here again from Guthrie, live streaming, and we want the Lord to give each one of us a special blessing this morning. Two Sundays ago, we studied about the blood of Jesus and its significance. Last week, we read how the Son of Righteousness arose with healing in his wings. We're still working with that whole event, because the Lord was working there for a complete and a full plan for you and I to be able to be saved, to be filled by his presence, by his Spirit within. And so we find that 50 days after those events, remember the Passover, Jesus, the true Passover, was crucified on the Passover. And the Lord had in his amazing mind, he had a feast 50 days after that called the Feast of Pentecost. It was a one-day feast. And it was somehow so happened to be that that's the very time that he gave the law. The law was given. God wrote on tablets of stone that we might have a little bit of his mind. And I want to start there in Acts, the second chapter. And I pray that God would open our hearts, because the Lord so amazingly and wondrously provided all of this for us and set it in motion many centuries before all this came to pass, and with shadows, with things that meant something later, he put things into place, such as the Passover lamb. We call it the Paschal lamb. That was really Christ. It was pointing forward. And we find that the day of Pentecost, 50 days afterwards, when he wrote on those tablets of stone, do you know a very significant event happened 50 days after the Passover? On those very times, the Lord had all of this in plan, all those centuries before. And so it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Now, this was 50 days after the true Passover. And the Lord had promised all through time. We find promises at different points where there would be a time that he would write those laws upon our hearts. And it would be quite different. There was a time that they were simply on tables of stone. It was a little bit like their hearts, wasn't it? They had hard hearts a lot of times. And God placed do's and don'ts. Don't do this and do... But you know, really what he wanted was, he wanted people that had a heart that was filled with his love. Well, it's kind of almost needless. It's not needless, but it's almost needless to tell a man not to kill someone else when you fill his heart with love for the person. He's just not going to do that, is he? He's going to love them. And so the Lord gave us a whole host of commandments to treat our enemies, how to treat them, how to love them. Very different than the law. where it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And so we find in Hebrews 8 and 10, it says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Folks, this began on the day of Pentecost, the fullness of what God had in mind. He said, "I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." And folks, that reaches to all people. It reaches down to us today. And the Lord wants and longs to write His laws upon our hearts, that we might be filled with all of His fullness. He wants to be there. In Acts 2 and 15, we find Peter there at the day of Pentecost. And he said, "For these are not drunken." This is to Acts 2 and 15 to 18. "These are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing as it is but the third hour of the day." What was going on here? There was something very different. Mighty power. Something very changing, life-changing. People filled with the Spirit of God. Don't you know, people are quite different when they're filled with the holy presence of the Lord. And so this morning, I want to challenge us today to take in what God has reserved for you and me, and to allow God to live in His fullness in our lives. He says, "These are not drunken, as ye suppose." Yeah, there's something going on here, all right. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." What a different plan that is. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. They're going to proclaim the wonderful works of God and preach the wonderful things of God. And he says, "And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." I thank the Lord for that this morning. It's so life-changing. You know, Jesus, through his ministry, he tried to point the apostles to that day. And he told them in John 16 and 12 to 14, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." And it goes on. Do you know this morning, there's a work that only the Holy Spirit can do in our life. And I pray God to open every one of our hearts. I know some here are filled with the Holy Spirit and some probably are not. And I want to encourage us this morning, let God fill your spirit. This is the complete work of salvation. We read about the death of Jesus. We read about the significance of His blood in our life. We read about the sun rising and with healing in His wings. But you know what else? There's some more to complete it, folks. God wants to come right down in our clean soul after we've been saved, after we've let the Lord heal our sin condition. And He wants to dwell within us today. We read here where Jesus told them, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." Folks, there's a lot of things God wants to say to us. And if we are not filled with His Spirit, I believe it to be impossible for us to comprehend all those things that God wants to say. If you think about the apostles, they walked with the Lord. For 3.5 years, they walked with Him. And he was constantly trying to redirect them, trying to bring them back from their own mind, trying to bring them back from their own carnality. And we find them, I'll give you a few examples of that. In Luke, the 9th chapter and the 53rd verse, it says, "And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem." Now, I believe this was Samaritans here. "And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" That sounds pretty natural, doesn't it? Lord, these people are not willing to... They're not willing to hear you. They're just turning their back on you. Let's command fire and let's just get rid of them. Well, Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, "You know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. You know, the Lord came to lead us into all truth, the Scripture says. Even the truth concerning our own spirit. All truth. Everything He leads us into is going to be more of His truth, more of His truth. He's going to continually teach us all through our lives. And so we find these apostles wrangling about who was going to be the greatest. And, you know, to them it was natural. That's just what they were. That's what they were doing. But you know, the Lord had to set them straight again. No, that's not the way we do it. He that's greatest among you, he'll be your servant. Let him be the one that serves. And we find so many places where the Lord continually corrected the disciples, and He was good to do that. That's why when the Scripture says that the Holy Ghost is with you, but He shall be in you. Folks, He's with you. He's like Jesus was, continually correcting. But the Lord wants it to be better than that. He wants there to be His living presence within us so that it changes our whole mindset and we receive of the mind of God because He lives in us. I believe the Lord has something good for us there. I remember a time myself after I was saved. And really, I know that I was sanctified at this time, but I was very new in the things of God. And we drove up to a gas station, a couple of brothers and I. We were on a long trip going down to Goulds, Florida, to Brother Hargrave's congregation. And we drove into a station, and there was a long-haired fellow there. And, you know, you could tell they weren't like us. And if I can just tell you what I told them, I'm ashamed of it now. I didn't tell them, but I told the guys that were with me, I said, "Look at those scumbags." You know, one of them looked at me and said, "Philip, I can't believe you said that. Do you know that the Lord had to teach me? Those were eternal souls, and they needed my love." The Lord wants to teach us those things, and all through our life, He'll keep teaching us and helping us to understand His mind and His ways this morning. Oh, the Holy Spirit in our life, folks, it's a great need. And it's a great part of the plan of God. To be saved is one wonderful thing. But folks, it's only a piece of the plan. That God, from the very beginning, we see back there, from the very beginning, He set 50 days till He wrote the law. And then we see it again right up here at the day of Pentecost. Thank the Lord. You remember Peter? We all know Peter, don't we? Matthew 16 and 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show unto His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But He turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." You ever had a mind like that? I can't. Lord, I can go with you when the sun's shining and when there's no rain and everything's great. But if there's a little something wrong, I can't do that. I can't suffer with you there. Do you know, saints, the Lord wants us to have the mind of the Lord. It was His will in Jesus' life that He suffer. And sometimes it's God's will that we suffer as well. Many times I have seen Him heal. Many, many times. And I have seen some suffering too. The Lord help us to let the Spirit of God guide us and lead us in our lives. Acts 1 and 8. We're familiar with this, aren't we? But ye, listen to the words of life here that the Lord left us. He said to them, this was just before He ascended. I want to say it was maybe about the last thing, or maybe it was the last thing He said. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Folks, that significant thing that happened on the day of Pentecost was something that Jesus told them over and over. He's going to be your comforter. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to give you power, and you're going to be able to be my witnesses everywhere. Do you remember old Peter when he got cornered up there and he was afraid for his life and he began to deny the Lord, and he said, I don't know the man. And he cursed and he swore and he said, I'm telling you, I don't know the man. You know, 50 days later, you know what Peter was doing? Peter had been at one. He had got right with the Lord. And the Lord filled him with His presence and He purged him. And Peter turned around and preached to those same people. Read the chapter. It says, you are the ones that killed. I don't remember the exact words, but he was preaching to some of the same people that was there crucifying the Lord. And with great boldness, he preached the word, and 3,000 people got saved that day. Folks, that's a great change. I want to encourage each one of us today. If our life is lacking in power, and we are not able to do what we need to do to be a real witness of the Lord, let's seek the Lord for the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. It's life-changing. I will tell you, when that day came for me, I mean, it changed my life. It changed. I began to understand Scripture. I began to understand things. The Spirit of the Lord began to move in my life. And folks, the Lord wants it to be that way. One scripture says, with great power, I believe, gave they witness of the resurrection. In John 14 and 15, Jesus again speaking, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. You know, Jesus kept telling the folks, this is out there. This is waiting. It's coming. It's right behind me here. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, and if you'll do that, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Already know him, but he's going to be in you. He's with you, but he's going to be in you. There's something so much deeper, so much better, so much more wholesome. He's going to be your comforter. He's going to guide you. He's going to teach you. He's going to speak in your ear the things of God. He's going to anoint your life. That's what the Comforter wants to do this morning in our lives. Jesus was continually with the disciples, just as the Holy Spirit is continually with us. But remember, God wants to be in us, folks. There's power in the Spirit of the Lord. I want to thank the Lord this morning. I want to remind us again, ye shall receive power, Jesus said, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Folks, the Lord longs for us to have power in our life. I want to talk a little bit in a minute about receiving that power. It's critically important to our life. In Acts 8 and verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. You drop on down to the 12th verse. Now let's take that in, what we just read. There's great joy. There was great joy in that city. People heard about the Lord. They heard about the Son being risen. They were healed. They were blessed. They were saved. And they were baptized. And so in verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Folks, I want to encourage us today that we begin to seek the Holy Spirit in our life, that we do not live a life as it were in the desert, traveling around, the Lord helping us here and there, and constantly in our own, never partaking of that land of milk and honey that the Lord promised. What change was wrought in their hearts when the cleanser, the guide, the teacher was in them, not just with them, to continually correct and lead. In Acts 19 and 2 and 3, it says, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. These people were walking in all the light they knew, but there was something so much greater for them. I can hardly say enough good about the Holy Spirit in our lives, folks. I believe in it. I have experienced it. I love that part. The Lord begins to talk to you. Has the Lord ever began to move on your life in some way? And it's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's just what God loves to do for His people. In Ephesians 1, and 13 and 14, it says a little more. It says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Folks, I want to break that down for us a little bit here this morning. This word sealed, it means to stamp. That's what the Greek means on. It's the same word that is used when Pilate gave the order, set a seal to the tomb of Jesus. Put a big rock up there and set a seal on it. Nobody's to touch that thing. It's got my seal on it. Do you know that the Lord wants to put a seal on our lives? It's a seal of approval. It's a seal. It's a seal that God lives here. This is mine, saith the Lord. Do you know the Lord knows them that are His, and He wants that seal to be upon our life today. To stamp with a signet or private mark for security or preservation, to keep. Anyway, Strong's, the word earnest. So he told us here, as we read, in whom also that after ye believed, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. You know what the earnest is? It says here, a pledge. That is part of the purchase money or property given in advance as security for the rest. Earnest. It means the down payment. That's what we're going to come to our purchase possession when we get to the gates of heaven and the Lord wants our pledge, folks. We're going to have a pledge to give, aren't we? Here's what you gave me. I have a part of it. I already have a piece of heaven here. The Lord wants to give us that. Doesn't mean we're not going to have plenty of troubles and trials, but folks, we're going to have a piece of God in our soul, and the Lord wants to give it to every one of us. I wanted to read what Clark said, which is the earnest of our inheritance. This Holy Spirit, sealing the soul with truth and righteousness, is the earnest foretaste and pledge of the heavenly inheritance. And he who can produce this earnest, this witness of the Spirit in the day of judgment, shall have an abundant entrance into the holiest. I want to say this. I know we get saved, and it is the blood of Jesus that covers us. But folks, that's not where it stopped. And if we stop there and refuse to go on, it can be something that I would be afraid to come to the place of heaven and say, well, Lord, I just never really wanted to be yours all the way. I just wanted to be saved. Folks, I don't want this to be a negative message, and it's not. But I will tell you this, it's very important for us to go on unto perfection. To go on into that place where the Spirit of God begins to work in our life and begins to use us, and where we, as the Scripture says, over, what is it, Romans 12, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Do you know that it only works that way? The Lord's not going to come into a soul that's their own. He's going to come into a soul that is a sacrifice to God and that has given themselves completely without any strings attached. Lord, here's my life. There's no strings attached. Please take my life and use it the way you want. And folks, I want to say this. When you seek the Lord for that, and you give yourself to Him for that, you're going to get 100 times back more than you gave. Your little life won't mean anything compared to what God will put in your life and in your soul. And so I want to encourage us this morning, those little thoughts, folks, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord, that we seek Him. Maybe, I don't know, maybe at least one more scripture set. Luke 11 and 10. For every one that asketh, receiveth. This is Jesus speaking again. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And so I just want to say this morning, folks, the Lord wants us to come to Him seeking Him. The apostles, the disciples, spent 50 days between the crucifixion and the day of Pentecost. I don't know exactly how many days they were in the upper room, but they were up there for a while. They were seeking the Lord. They were looking to Him. I want to encourage us today, let's don't stop until we've got the full package. The full package. All of it. Let's let the Lord have it all. And folks, I want to tell you, what we get in return far exceeds what we give. And our little bit of life that we give to the Lord, that little bit of consecration of our bodies as a living sacrifice. Lord, I'll be your sacrifice while I'm alive. I'm not asking you to take me home right now. I'm asking you to use my life and make me alive and fill me with your Spirit. Oh, I believe the Lord has some good things for us today. The Lord bless each one that's listening this morning. That God would be in our lives, that He would enrich us. Folks, when they went into the land of Canaan, they had a lot of work to do. We consider that the land where after somebody crosses that Jordan, they put their feet in and the waters receded. And then we find them marching into that place. It was a land of battles. It was a land of hills and valleys. It wasn't all mountaintop. But I would tell you what, they were in a good land, and God gave them their inheritance there. And I will tell you, I believe this, the Lord has a good land for you and me. Let's take it. Let's believe the report and let Him have our life. The Lord help us. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's what Jesus said. So the Lord bring things to our remembrance. I know that God has this for every one of us today. Thank you for listening this morning. Maybe we'll end with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we did nothing for this to be accounted to us, Lord. Out of your love and out of your compassion, you gave to us, you gave your Son that we might be cleared, that we might be clean and saved and keep clean. And Lord, out of your love for man, you gave us of yourself and of your Spirit. And Lord, we pray upon this group, upon any that hears, Lord, that their lives can be filled with your Spirit. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus, and we'll give you the praise for everything. Amen.